All right, let's get started. Big thank you for coming here today. My name is Satya Vail. I'm a program manager on the Operations Management Suite team, and I used to be responsible for a lovely little product called System Center Operations Manager. One of the things we wanted to do and the feedback we heard from you guys last year is we wanted to hear about how other customers are using both OMS and System Center. And so we've had actually two sessions where we have our customer-led sessions where they're going to come and talk and share about how they use OMS in their environment. One of the common questions I get is, hey, why did you guys start investing in this product called OMS, right? System Center is there. Should I be using System Center or should I be using OMS? And I'm hoping through this presentation today I can actually answer some of those questions. So first is the story is about 2 years ago, one of the big retailers, we went to visit them, and one of the things they told us is, hey, today we collect about 10 petabytes of data in our data warehouse, and it's almost impossible to get any insights on the data. And data has become the new currency, right? Like people need data to be able to analyze it, to figure out patterns, and make business decisions based on them. And so this customer was like, hey, I'll try to write an SSRS report, and you know how hard writing SSRS reports are. And they said, hey, this is not a scalable option for us. So that was one story. The other story was a lot of these customers were using this product called System Center Operations Manager. They loved the product. But one of the things they said is, SCOM does great at raising the alerts, but what's the next thing you do? When an alert is raised, you send RDP onto a box, you open MMC and look at the services snap-in and perfmon to really troubleshoot what's going on. And they really wanted to try and see, hey, how do we bring all this data together to really understand what's going on in the environment? With those two scenarios, and the third one being the cost of backups. A lot of customers came and told us that tape backups was super expensive. Customers are spending millions of dollars a year with tape backups, and they really wanted to try and reduce their IT costs, and that was one area that they were really struggling with. So those were really three scenarios that got us thinking about, hey, what can we do, and what are some of these problems we can solve? So one with OMS is, I think because we are a cloud-based service, our economies of scale are a lot better. I think we are a lot more reasonable from a price perspective. I think Jason's going to come and share with you today about how they've kind of reduced some of their TCOs by using Azure Backup. The other scenario that we're really good at is scale. Today, for example, I don't know how many of you know this, we actually ingest about 40 petabytes of data into the OMS log analytics service and about another 35 petabytes of data backed up each day as well. So, some serious capacity that you can do today with an on-premise type of solution. And really, the scale and velocity is something what is designed for. Another key thing about OMS is around speed. We used to have a lot of customer conversations, and customers would ask for a feature. 3 years later, they would finally get the feature that they asked for, and technology's either changed or the scenario has changed, is no longer valid. And so we really wanted to improve our speed of cadence of delivering capabilities to our customers and have you guys leverage and light up those capabilities in real time. So one of the things we do, in the last month, we actually released 16 new, what we call feature improvements or new features in the service. Again, something that we can do today very easily on an on-premise product. Innovation. I don't know how many of you know this, but some of the background underneath technologies that we use for the search indexing technology that we use in log analytics service actually leverages an open source technology called Lucene. The real-time performance data that we provide uses some technologies called HBase and Spark. I don't know how many of you are familiar with. And one of the big benefits of this is we are constantly innovating, right? So if there's a new technology that comes out that can do better analysis of data, you as a customer don't need to manage that. We provide that capability, and you get to leverage those solutions by our platform. You don't need to manage that infrastructure. Some of the features we provide in OMS around pattern recognition, patching, insights, A lot of that data is actually provided by Azure Machine Learning. So we leverage Azure Machine Learning to do pattern analysis. We use crowdsourcing to give you patch insights. So we'll tell you that, hey, on average, we see for this specific patch, it takes a customer 10 minutes to install this patch, right? So that's the kind of power that we can gain and leverage through OMS. And the last one is really troubleshooting, right? We really wanted to go after the troubleshooting scenario and make troubleshooting a first-class experience for our customers where we can bring in all the data and improve it, right? So no longer do you need to have a separate tool for network monitoring, a separate one for Linux monitoring, a separate one for Windows monitoring. We want to be that centralized system where we can get all the data and then provide a great troubleshooting experience. And really, again, a lot of our customers are starting to now make that transition where they have stuff on-prem and they're also going leveraging Azure and AWS. And we want to help our customers with that transition, right? And therefore, we're able to provide you capabilities. We plug into System Center, let you manage your on-premise assets, as well as have first-party integration, which Scott Guthrie demonstrated at his keynote yesterday, where we can pull in all the Azure activity logs, pull in all the Azure metrics as a first-class experience into your environment without needing to put an agent on your applications. Today, we have about 46,000 customers. It's probably one of the fastest growing services here at Microsoft. Very excited. A lot of it is thanks to you guys who have taken a leap of faith and started using it and giving us great feedback. One of our earliest customers was Rackspace. Dugan was one of the first customers who actually onboarded and has been giving us great feedback over the years. And I thought I'd invite him to come and share his story about how Rackspace has evolved their IT management and what they're doing today. So big round of applause for Dugan, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Satya. As mentioned, I'm Dugan Sheehan. I am a principal engineer at Rackspace. Here is a giant photo of me sitting a little too close to the camera. I work as a product architect for our Microsoft Cloud practice area at Rackspace, and a large part of my job is to help shape the look and feel of Fanatical support on top of Microsoft Cloud technologies, whether it be private cloud or public cloud. So some of my day-to-day responsibilities are, you know, doing research and development, doing some scripting, automation and tooling, as well as engaging with folks like Satya and his team to try and find new creative ways to enhance our customer experience. So today, I want to talk a little bit about our Fanatical for Azure product offering at Rackspace and take you through our journey of how we leverage OMS to reduce some of the overhead and cost burden and really drive a good customer outcome. So a little background on Rackspace for those that aren't familiar. We are the leading managed cloud service provider. We are a five-time Microsoft Hosting Partner of the Year award winner. We have 300,000 customers. Those span 120 different countries. And our portfolio is really spread across some virtualization technologies, some bare metal servers, both HP and Dell, as well as a number of managed storage and public cloud offerings. We serve 60% of the Fortune 100 companies. And I have about 6,200 Rackers, as we call them, which are Fanatical support technicians. So we leverage a number of the OMS products in the suite, Azure Backup, as well as ASR. But today I'm largely going to talk about OMS Log Analytics, which serves as the backbone for our monitoring and reporting offering. And before I dive into that solution directly, I want to give you just a little bit of business context on kind of where we were and some of the systems and tools that we used previously. We leverage System Center Operations Manager and Nimbus, both great products on their own, but there's a couple challenges that those provided kind of operating as a service provider. A lot of work went into customizing alerting, customizing reporting, and really, you know, we have a variety of different customers with different needs, and it really takes a lot of manpower as well as hardware and software to kind of offer that experience that they want to see. So those were some of the things that we were looking to tackle. And when we set out to design our kind of monitoring and reporting front end for our Azure offering, we had a number of things that we wanted to accomplish. Some were overcoming limitations of some of our legacy systems. Others were, you know, trying to find new creative ways to report things to customers and just improve that experience overall. So hopefully these resonate with some of you out there. One was we wanted to reduce communication dependencies. So we were designing an offering to monitor and report on infrastructure that wasn't inside of our data center. And we wanted to be cognizant of not opening up a ton of firewall ports or creating dependencies back on on-premise systems if we didn't need to. We also wanted to make sure that we simplified operations. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't have to throw a bunch of people, a bunch of money, a bunch of hardware, a bunch of storage at the solution. We wanted something ideally compact to keep our small engineering team focused on more value-added activities. We also wanted to make sure we had sufficient scale. So this offering was launched last year in July at WPC. We expected a pretty big uptake, but we didn't know exactly what that was going to be. So we wanted to make sure we had a solution that could scale with demand. And also we wanted to be cognizant to manage the costs. So we didn't want to have a situation where we had to put forth a bunch of extra costs to our customers just to offer them a meaningful monitoring and reporting experience. In addition, like I mentioned before, we wanted to make sure we had sufficient customization. So, you know, every application is different, every customer is different, and we want to make sure that we could surface data and alerting that's most valuable to them. So we want to be able to do custom alerts, we want to be able to do custom reports, and really offer a good experience there. We also want to do self-service. So, historically, a lot of time went into kind of these transactional situations where customers were asking for data. They'd submit a ticket. Our team would kind of crunch the data and report it back to them. But we wanted to make it more of a on-demand type of situation so that they could have the data as close to real time as possible. And we also want to decrease deployment time. So we wanted to make sure that we could set up proof of concepts and test things out and get our monitoring and reporting system up quickly in line with our offering. And then moving forward, we wanted to make sure that we could get new customers and new environments up quickly, leveraging automation to do that. We also wanted to make sure that the platform we chose was extensible. Automation is huge in our business. We want to be able to scale our employees and our work effectively. And we also wanted to make sure that we could offer a consistent customer experience, and automation is a big part of that. So we want to make sure we chose a platform that could allow us to do that, as well as integrate with some of our incident management systems and some of our internal tooling. So let's talk about how we solve for some of those challenges with OMS. One, I mentioned the communication. So OMS has a very streamlined communication model. The agents only require outbound 443 access, which is becoming pretty standard these days. No inbound port requirements. They have the published endpoints for their SaaS management plane, so it's easy if you have a proxy or strict outbound firewall requirements. You can easily do that with some layer 7 rules. We're also able to dramatically reduce headcount. So by adopting a SaaS platform, we didn't have to throw a bunch of people at managing the hardware, doing the capacity management, managing the storage backend, the networking, and all those things that come along with a lot of the traditional IT infrastructure management. We also got essentially infinite scale. So the platform is able to ingest and index several gigabytes of data per day just for our customer set, but we're abstracted from all the capacity management and all the headaches that come along with that. And we're also able to lower our costs. So it's a utility billing model. You pay for what you use, essentially, in terms of the streaming data to the service. And there's no additional licensing and, again, hardware training, all those costs that generally come along with that. We also got that the customization that we wanted. So don't know if everyone's had a chance to play with it, but recently it was released a feature called View Designer. So you can actually create your own charts, graphs, stack charts with the data that OMS is collecting. So really useful if you want to, you know, create graphs for top 10 CPU utilization servers, or you want to look at your anti-malware, or you want to look at updates. There's some default views you can use, or you can create your own. So that's really where we dive in headfirst and try to surface, again, that data that we think is most important to our different customers. We also got the self-service, which is great. So every customer that we onboard gets their own OMS workspace. They're able to log in, look at the data live, and if they need assistance interpreting it or have any questions about it, that's where Rackspace comes in and is able to help out. We also got dramatically accelerated deployments. So we can deploy our OMS workspaces using an ARM template. It's also available to work with via PowerShell or the API. That kind of leads into the extensibility. So again, a number of existing automation we can take advantage of. We were able to tie into our existing ticketing and incident management system using a webhook and just parsing of the JSON alert data. So something that historically would have taken lots and lots of time, we were able to do in very short order, just tying in via webhook and doing some of that. So I'll spend a few minutes talking about some of the additional benefits we got beyond kind of what we had set out to do. One, Satya mentioned briefly earlier, is we got a very robust patching solution. So initially, OMS gave feedback on pending Windows updates, and now it gives you insights into pending security updates for Linux, a number of flavors there as well, and can now do patching orchestration. So for those that have managed SCCM, as well as maybe WSUS in the past, may want to take a look at OMS to help out with patching and offload some of those responsibilities. We also got automated alert remediation, and this one is huge. So with every alert that you configure, you're able to tie in a remediation action via an Azure Automation Runbook. So a great example of this might be you have an alert for high CPU utilization, and then you have a runbook to scale up the instance size whenever that alert triggers. And then maybe you have a cooldown where you also have a low CPU where you're shutting down machines in the environment to help save on costs. We also got a full hybrid solution. So the OMS agent is available for Windows. It's available for Linux. It doesn't just have to go on an Azure VM. It can go on an on-premise asset. It can be VMware. It can be Hyper-V. It can be bare metal. So a lot of capability there. We also got a very robust backup capability. So we can do file level backups. For people that need that kind of granularity, we can also do full image backups, store those in different locations, and really offer a good experience there. We also got, without any development effort of our own, kind of anytime, anywhere access. So available via the web, there's a mobile app, and this is something we can pass on to our customers to use in their NOCs or to use with their incident response teams without a whole lot of work there. So talk about some of the results we're able to achieve. We currently have over 100 customers in Azure, which represents over 1,000 virtual machines, and we're able to process about 10,000 alerts on average. In addition, as part of that, we currently manage over $1.5 million a month in Azure infrastructure spend, and that's going at a 20% growth rate, and associated with that is about hundreds of terabytes of backup data. So a little bit about future plans, kind of where we're going, what we want to use OMS for. We want to expand some of our DR capabilities. So Azure Site Recovery is a great service as part of the OMS suite. So we want to build a kind of a managed service around that. We also want to look more at some of the automation. So just developing more runbooks, more ways to auto-remediate those common alerts. We're also looking at tighter integration with OMS and some of the Azure services. So we have a lot of customers consuming the PaaS services, so we're looking to tie a lot of that event data into OMS so we can offer some great insights there as well. And we also want to do more with the View Designer, offering kind of those custom views and reporting for our customers. And I'll just close my section real quick, just talking about, you know, why Microsoft and some of the benefits we got. So, you know, one is they've been a great partner to work with. Satya and his team are incredibly responsive. We've gotten, you know, early access private preview to features that allowed us to start building some of our automation and some of our capabilities early on. We also get a lot of, you know, kind of built-in best practices guidance. So Microsoft owning the operating system as well as a number of the enterprise applications that our customers run, they produce a lot of useful things out of the box. I don't know if everybody's seen some of the solutions packs, but there's assessments for SQL, assessments for Active Directory, and these are things where they're taking their years and years and years of experience and providing you an opinionated view of that data and oftentimes ways to remediate or fix problems that might be there. And also we got extremely tight integration with Azure. So almost all the new services that and features that come out in Azure end up having some type of integration or hook into OMS. And since we've already built a lot of the ticketing and alerting workflows in Operations Management Suite, we're able to take advantage of those as soon as they light up. And that's all I have. So I'll hand over to Jason.
Good morning. So I'm Jason Carson from Manulife. I'm Enterprise Cloud Architect there. And so my entire scope focuses solely on Azure as an entity. We have been doing quite a lot in Azure over the last 3 years. And you're probably wondering, who is Manulife? Manulife, as you can guess by the name, is simply a financial services company. We employ about 34,000 employees, and we operate in the three biggest economies in the world, so in China, Japan, and the United States. We also operate in Canada. I'm Canadian, so I have to mention that. And we have a global network that supports our Azure infrastructure. This network, we've tried to separate sort of the physical connectivity from our logical, so that we can have a very widely dispersed usage of Azure, which is important for some of our core tenants. So the first core tenant that, I'm going to jump to the next slide here. So the first core tenant that we sort of focus on when we're working with Azure as a whole and some of our decisioning factors moving forward is we need to minimize the amount of supporting infrastructure, because the more cost that we accrue as a business, the less value we can get for the actual applications that interact with our customers. And so this is a key deciding factor in some of the reasons why we've targeted leveraging OMS backups and ASR. So we want to modernize and modify applications instead of just moving them as they sit. We want to be able to leverage at least one of the cloud characteristics so that we can derive value from applications and servers that come. So we want to maintain a consistency with regional pairs. As Microsoft describes, they've matched up pairs to support DR and data replication. We follow that same pattern in our strategies from a DR, from a replication, from a backup scenario. And then we encourage always-on environments to meet the RTO and RPO that's required for an application. So why did we need cloud backup? Well, we didn't want to just bring on our existing backup providers. Many of them were managed by other companies. Many of them only did file-level backups and didn't capture the configuration of a virtual machine. And they weren't cloud-native. So the great thing about Azure Backup in our scenario is it actually provides comprehensive protection across Azure. It allows us to protect all of our production instances and any critical development instances. It allows us to not deploy infrastructure, which falls in line with our core tenants. And it allows us to retain data as long as we want. It says 99 years. I'd like to see that happen in the real world. But we can actually derive our policies based on business needs instead of technical limitations. And this allows us to have the most flexibility to target backups for those solutions, both in how it's replicated, how frequently, and how long it's retained. So our story in Azure started out very small. We started with a single region in the US in 2013, and it's growing over time. So this single region was connected with VPN. We didn't have a lot of connectivity to bring this data back on premise. We didn't have the capacity. And so we are looking to Microsoft to figure out how can we back this up, make sure it's protected so we can move forward. We had some large VMs with multiple 17 terabytes of data on each one, and we had to figure out a way to back them up effectively. So Microsoft helped us do that, and it enabled us to move forward and productionize our environment and start to span globally. We spanned it to multiple regions in the US. We moved into Canada. We moved into Asia regions. And we were able to duplicate some of the successes that we had and continue to not increase our footprint from a supporting infrastructure standpoint. So we were able to also continue to have successful backups and recoveries and cover our environment successfully. So up to now, we actually exist in 10 global regions with hundreds of line of business apps running 24/7 and workloads that scale on demand for those users that need it. So we continue to grow. We're going to continue to expand into different workloads and ones that are more and more cloud native. So focusing on data retention and backup is key for us. So our scale of operations right now also exists to about 2,000 virtual machines. And that number is a difficult one to pin down because it's continually increasing on a monthly basis. And we have dynamic workloads that scale up to 10,000 cores at a time. So with that, there's lots of good reasons why we went with Azure Backup. So couple of key ones that we have. So with unlimited scale, and unlimited is always a term in the eye of the beholder, but for us, we don't have to worry about storage capacity filling up, which was a common occurrence on-premise. We didn't have to worry about how long a business needed to retain something from a regulatory standpoint. We didn't have to worry about was there an actual resource in the region we were existing in. We didn't have to build new data centers. And that was very key to us to move forward. So it allowed us to enable cross-region restores. And we've done multiple disaster recoveries now using Azure Backup to recover across regions. So we were able to restore from our core US region to the backup DR pair and have everything operational in under a few hours. And that was a huge win for the business. It allowed us to take control of when we restored things, of when we had DR scenarios, and when we called it as something that we need to get up and running somewhere else, instead of waiting for an entire region to fall over. And so this was the first step of working with Microsoft to try and determine what's the path forward for us. So it gave us another picture for our operations team. We were able to manage and monitor backups as a single entity, being able to see the actual backups that were being successful, the ones that were failing, and actioning those and fixing them. It allowed us to ensure that our protection was actually happening. Secondly, it allowed us to recover things and test, because you can recover them off network. You can recover them in a different cloud service or network and actually test it and validate that your data is there. So it gives that peace and comfort that many people are looking for. So our results. So we didn't have to really do anything. We just consumed the service. We didn't have to deploy infrastructure. We didn't have to change our provisioning habits. We actually were able to just build that into our build processes, into our automation scripts, so that servers were automatically enrolled into our backup vaults. We were able to provide a clear, cost-effective DR path where we weren't paying for any secondary regions. We were only paying for the storage that existed in them. And we're able to rapidly restore in a reasonable time frame. And we're able to do this all at scale, continuing to protect 2,000 plus virtual machines, replicating those as long as we want, and continuing to do it on a day-to-day basis. So where are we going? So one of the things is we're looking at how can we get applications to Azure? How can we get servers to Azure? And do this in an effective and rapid fashion. And one of the things that we're working on piloting is leveraging ASR as a migration platform. And this is Azure Site Recovery, which provides that DR as a service capabilities. And not only that, we're looking to establish that as our standard going forward from a disaster recovery standpoint, so we can have a more automated approach to that recovery. So this is key for us because now it gives us the full gamut of ability to restore recovery times to hours, to minutes, to near instantaneous. And it allows us to have a fully use case driven, business-centric approach to our infrastructure. Thank you very much.
So I think we wanted to open up some time to take questions. So if you guys want to come up to the mic or we can get up on stage and maybe take some questions, that'll be great. Any questions? Yes, sir. Orchestrated patching.
Sure thing. So I believe released this week, the update assessment solution pack inside of OMS will now offer a scheduled patching option. So you'll be able to go in there, choose computer groups, and set a recurring schedule for, I think, initially Windows, and then maybe more to come on that later. But so taking on some of the stuff you may have done historically with some other patch management situations, and I think they'll continue to expand on that. So it's really just the recurring scheduling of Windows updates for your managed systems.
Yeah, so there's a session on Friday, unfortunately, on the whole patch management. I'll be happy to share it with you. But yeah, patching is one area, especially orchestrated patching. We've heard from many of you during the last Ignite as being a big challenge, and so we really focused on investing in that recently. So, other questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you're wondering how TCO actually did drop and what factors played into that? So, yeah, absolutely. So the actual sort of figuring that out comes down to a matter of how many headcount need to support this solution, licensing costs, storage costs, and then the overall operations and management of it. So headcount was a net zero increase. Licensing costs was a nothing because it was already included in our Azure services. Storage costs were minimal because there's a slight premium on the storage of backups and retention. And then the actual operations part plays into the exact same stuff that our operations team is using to monitor everything else. So again, a relatively net zero increase. So it allows us to have an extremely low total cost of ownership compared to a traditional infrastructure on-premise where we'd have to manage a NAS or tape drives. We'd have to manage a solution which would have a per node type license. And then we'd have to continually increase that storage space. And we'd have to have management teams to switch out tapes or to install agents or monitor agents or do all this other kind of stuff. So it's really enabled us to move forward quickly in that manner. In Azure Backup, it's purely a storage charge. Yep.
Other questions?
Yeah, so in our experience in our pilots right now, Azure Backup provides sort of your bare level coverage, and it provides us the recovery from the last good restore or backup. What that means is your time to recovery is going to be longer, and your recovery point objective could also be longer as well. So Azure Site Recovery can provide, I think it's like 5 minutes or 30 seconds recovery times, which is perfectly reasonable for most workloads that don't require always-on type scenarios cross-region. And when you get into that, you really need to start looking at how your application can span 1,000 miles at a time, and it's a different architecture altogether. So,
other questions? All right, we'll be here in the front for a couple of minutes. If you guys want to come and have a one-on-one chat, we'd be happy to. Thank you again.